Sound guy going. Praise the Lord, people. Let's open up our hymnals to 177 this morning. 177. And we'll stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning. 177. We're marching. Amen. All the way to glory. And we'll sing the first, third, and fourth. First, third, and fourth, people. Watch it as I.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Send in the song with sweet accord, join in the song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, walk those golden streets, oh, walk those golden streets.
Amen!
We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. To fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion.
Indeed. Please be seated, church. Oh, it's so good to be marching on the path of the Lord. Amen. You know you're marching on the right path when you're marching on God's road. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Great, great singing this morning and great testimonies. I really appreciate your testimonies of what the Lord is doing in your lives. It's exciting. And there's power in your testimony, too. We know that. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks, and open up to the book of Psalms. For this morning's message, follow me to Psalm 87. Psalm 87. I told you earlier that I was really looking forward to this morning's service. And one of the reasons why is because what the Lord has given me this week to preach. And it has to do with my favorite topic of all, the city of God. Our heavenly home. Amen? And I tell you, if you're saved, you can't help but get excited about heaven. And especially realizing that we're getting closer and closer all the time, church, to being there. So look with me here. And we'll stand for the reading of God's holy word in Psalm 87. Psalm 87. David writes, "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab in Babylon. To them that know me, behold Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee." Beloved, I want to call your attention this morning to verse 3 for my text. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, as I preach on the city of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the city of God, our eternal home, the New Jerusalem. And Lord, we thank you that where a person is born, that is their birthright citizenship. And because we've been born of God, we've been born again from above. Therefore, our eternal citizenship is in heaven. We're so thankful for that this morning, Lord. We're excited about it. We're grateful for it. It's all because of Jesus, the King of the Celestial City. Father, we ask that you would bless your holy word. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, give us understanding in these truths concerning the city of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, here in Psalm 87, we have an incredible description of a glorious city, which is proclaimed by the Holy Spirit through the psalmist to indeed be the city of God. That is, it's God's own city. Listen now, the ancient city of David, Jerusalem, is undoubtedly spoken of here historically, where Mount Zion is a great type of the gospel church, the body of Christ. Now, this Jerusalem was exalted and fortified by the divine favor and protection of the living God, the Jerusalem that now is. Look at verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Speaking of the mountains of Jerusalem, Mount Olivet, Mount Zion, Mount Carmel. Verse 2, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion, that's Jerusalem, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Folks, God established this city of Jerusalem, and the whole wide world wants it. They all want it. Why? It belongs to God. They can't have it because God's got specific plans for it. Now, what Jerusalem was, the gospel church now is. It is built by God. It is built upon the foundation of the solid rock, Jesus Christ. This city I speak of cannot be shaken. This city I speak of today cannot be broken or destroyed. And although Jerusalem was eminently typical of the church on earth, yet it was no less typical of the eternally triumphant city of God above, where we shall abide forever. Beloved, I want to give you three things this morning concerning the city of God. In considering the city of God, we must consider three things. We must consider, first, its literal reference to Jerusalem's metropolis today. Second, we will consider it in its spiritual application to the gospel church. Third, we'll see it in its grandest implication, and that is heaven itself, the New Jerusalem. So first of all, we must consider it and contemplate it in its literal reference to Jerusalem's metropolis. Look with me in verse 3 again. We read, "The glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." City of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, beloved, that Jerusalem over there in Israel today is the city of God. It cannot be destroyed. It doesn't matter how many armies or how many enemies come against it. It is the city of God. It will stand. Now, Jerusalem was truly the city of God. In this Jerusalem was the literal location where God's temple was built. Think with me. She was the joy of the whole earth. It was in Jerusalem that God chose to place his name and worship. Look at verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah. Think about that. Meditate on that. I see four glorious things concerning the literal Jerusalem. First, it was glorious because it was there where the seat of civil government was. The seat of civil government for the nation of Israel was in the capital, Jerusalem. Now, the king of Israel would rule and reign from the palace courts of the Davidic throne. There, the princes and nobles resided. From there, issued the mandates by which the people were governed. Look at Psalm 122. Hold your place, we're coming back. In Psalm 122, look with me at verse number 1. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Where was the house of the Lord? Oh yes, Jerusalem. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Are you getting the picture? Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. That's the civil seat of government. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that it was at Jerusalem where the government sat and ruled and reigned over the nation. And it will be at Jerusalem where the government of the entire world will reign through the King of Kings. Jerusalem held the Supreme Court. Jerusalem held the rulers and governors of the land. The judicial system centered in Jerusalem. Do you know what God loves? God loves justice. God loves justice. And Israel was given the responsibility of seeking justice for the people. Amen? Through the civil government. And this judicial system centered in Jerusalem. Now, God loves law and order. God loves structure. God loves when people abide by his laws. Amen? God does not like it when man changes the laws of God. Let me give you an example. God is not for homosexual marriage. God is not for killing unborn babies. God is not for terrorist attacks. God is not for violence and murder of the innocents. God is for law and justice. And this is one of the things that made it glorious. It is recorded that in 1862, the Battle Hymn of the Republic was sung at a large patriotic rally that was attended by President Abraham Lincoln, my favorite president of all time. After the singer finished, the audience responded with a tremendous applause, and the president, with tears in his eyes, cried out, "Sing it again! Sing it again!" And so they did. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen? And they sang it. Glory to God. Why? They had a righteous president who loved justice. Glory to God. But something else concerning the literal Jerusalem. It was glorious, secondly, listen, because there the divine ordinances were celebrated. Yes, indeed, beloved. Of all the cities on planet Earth, it was only in Jerusalem that the true worship of the true and living God was performed. Think about that. There was the ark. There was the altar. There were the sacrifices. The oracles of God were there. There were singers. There were psalmists. There were musicians, priests. There were visible symbols of the divine glory. Even the Shekinah glory of God arose out of that temple of Solomon, folks. It's coming back during the millennium. And the King of Heaven, dwelling in the midst of his people, was at Jerusalem. Go to Psalm 48 quickly. In Psalm 48, oh, I love this message because there's three Jerusalems. In Psalm 48, look at this. In Psalm 48, look with me at verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the what?
City
of our God. In the mountain, that's Zion, of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. Oh yeah. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Why is it so glorious? God's there. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the what?
City
of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. Look at verse 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, Jerusalem, and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. God says, tell the whole world, Jerusalem is my city. Jerusalem is a glorious city. It's the city of the great king. Oh yes, Jerusalem was glorious because God established a divine order of worship there. A divine order of true worship there in Jerusalem. Listen, in the temple of Actium, the Greeks used to sacrifice annually an ox to the god of the flies. Pliny tells us that in Rome, sacrifice was offered to the flies in the temple of Hercules Victa. The Syrians were known undoubtedly for offering sacrifice to the same pesty little tormentors, flies. But amazingly, it is noted by Josephus, the historian, that no fly was ever seen in the Temple of Solomon at Jerusalem. Never a single fly. You know why? They're not allowed in the presence of the living God. Woo-hoo! That's because they celebrated the divine ordinances of the living God there. Oh, I'm so thankful for the literal Jerusalem. Thirdly, the literal Jerusalem is glorious because there was the general rendezvous of all the tribes of Israel. Listen, three times a year, all the males from 18 years on upward would have to travel to Jerusalem to appear before God. Now, they had to present themselves before the priest. This was done by appointment of each tribe from God himself. Deuteronomy 16, quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And look with me at verse 16. Verse 16, we read, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee. He says three times every year on three set feast days, you must appear before me. Where? In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. The place where God had chosen to appear and to manifest himself to his people. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself kept this ordinance? Three times a year, Jesus Christ went up to Jerusalem. He was a full-blooded Jew. This gathering of the people to the city of Jerusalem typified the glorious gathering of all the saints one day to the celestial Jerusalem above. We're going to be gathered, boys. We're going up yonder to be with Jesus. On Sunday morning, September 27th, 1959, I was one. President Dwight Eisenhower was entertaining the Soviet President Khrushchev. He invited the communist leader to accompany him to church service in Gettysburg. The Russian president declined his invitation. So President Eisenhower went without him. He said, you sit here in the Oval Office. I'm going to church. I'm going to worship my God. Amen? Eisenhower was a true believer. Now, folks, we've got to go up to the place appointed by God to worship him. Amen? Even if nobody else will join us. And I'm so glad we do. We love coming here. But fourthly, there's a fourth glorious reason for this literal Jerusalem. Listen, because there is where the King of Kings will rule and reign from David's throne for 1,000 years. If you didn't get anything else I said, don't miss this. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. Amen. He's not coming to Boston. He's not coming to Los Angeles. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to rule this world with a rod of iron. There'll be no plea bargains. There'll be no more of this nonsense, occultic activity and false religions and cults. He's going to rule it in righteousness, the Bible says. Now, beloved, here's the foremost reason of all, that the earthly Jerusalem has glorious things spoken of her. It's because Jesus Christ himself shall sit upon the throne of David and rule over this planet for 1,000 years shortly. Ezekiel 48. Hold your place again. We're coming back. Ezekiel chapter 48. Don't miss this. We know that Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 48 speak of the millennium of Messiah. Look in chapter number 48. Chapter 48 of Ezekiel. Don't miss this. This has not occurred yet, people. It's prophetic. Look at verse 30. And these are the goings out of the city. What city? The millennial Jerusalem. Look at it. These are the goings out of the city. On the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate Reuben, one gate Judah, one gate Levi. At the east side, 4,500. Three gates, one gate Joseph, one gate Benjamin, one gate Dan. At the south side, 4,500 measures. Three gates, one gate Simon, one gate Issachar, one gate Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500 with three gates. One gate Gad, one gate Asher, one gate Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Why is that Jerusalem over there in Israel today glorious? Because the Lord is coming down out of heaven and he's going to reign from there. Woo! I love it. The glory to God. He will be there bodily for the entire millennium. That's why the earthly Jerusalem is glorious. From the Milwaukee Journal. Recently, the Ladbrokes firm, a London bookmaker, has lowered its odds against a visit from outer space to 33 to 1. It had been set for years at 100 to 1. But because of a rash of bets from all over the United States of America, the firm had to lower the odds. Ladbrokes says that it stands to lose $112 billion if someone drops in from outer space. This is no joke, folks. People are betting on an alien visitor from outer space coming to Earth. And Ladbrokes firm is taking bets. I got news for them. They're going to lose because someone from outer space is coming down to this Earth. And it's going to happen soon. We've seen that text refers firstly to the literal Jerusalem over there in Israel today. But secondly, back to our text, Psalm 87, refers, in its spiritual application, it refers to the gospel church today. Look at verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. O city of God. Now think with me, church. Who is the city of God made up of? Who is the city of God? Who are the citizens of the city? That's right. That's right. Saved people. Saved people comprise the population of the city of God. The spiritual application to the gospel church is clear in verse 3, pointing to the physical Jerusalem, applying to the spiritual application, the Jerusalem which now is the church. That is the New Testament church. Paul describes it as the Jerusalem, listen now, which is from above, which is the mother of us all. You see that? The mothers give birth, right? You were born. You were born. Listen, grab hold of this. You have been born in the Jerusalem which is above by new birth. The Holy Spirit placed a seed in you that you're born of God. You're a child of God. And listen, you've been born from the Jerusalem which is above. All true believers are fellow citizens of this glorious city. Glorious things are spoken of this spiritual city. First, let me suggest four quickly. The first one is that she is gloriously founded by the living God. Ephesians chapter 2. Go to the New Testament. This glorious city of the Jerusalem church of the gospel, New Testament church, is founded by the living God. No man established it. In Ephesians chapter 2, look with me at verse 17, speaking of the city I speak of. And he came, Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye Gentiles who've received Jesus Christ, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow what?
Citizens
with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Now, here, the Holy Spirit shows us through Paul's pen that all born-again people are citizens of this Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem. Now, in our first application to the literal Jerusalem, you've got lost people and saved people mixed in the physical Jerusalem. In the spiritual Jerusalem, there are no lost people. It's comprised of only saved individuals. Now, this spiritual city of Jerusalem, the church, exists because of its maker. Listen, she is built upon a sure foundation, Jesus Christ. She is purchased with the blood of God's own Son. She is instructed and nourished by God's own word. Her every citizen is quickened by God's own Spirit. She is supported and protected by God's own angels. Are you listening? Long ago, a sailor survived a shipwreck when he was thrown by the waves upon a rock. He clung to that rock until the tide went down. Then he was spotted and rescued. Later, a friend asked him, "Jim, didn't you shake with fear when you were hanging onto that rock?" "Oh yes," he replied, "but the rock didn't." See, that's how the gospel church is. She is founded upon a rock by the living God, which cannot be shaken. I'm so glad. My rock is not a fearful one. My rock is not shaking. My rock is solid. He's sure, and I'm clinging to him. Amen. There's something else, though, about this spiritual Jerusalem. Secondly, it's glorious in its spiritual application because she possesses some glorious privileges. Look at verse 3 again, Psalm 87. She possesses glorious privileges. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Listen, she possesses glorious privileges. Being a citizen of Rome entitled a person to many privileges as a Roman citizen. But being a citizen of spiritual Jerusalem entitles a person to divine and glorious privileges, eternal ones. Its citizens enjoy spiritual illumination. She has the light of the living. They enjoy justification by faith. We're freed from the penalty of sin. We enjoy the peace of God. We have an abiding peace within. They enjoy divine love and favor. They're individually loved by God Almighty. They enjoy joy in the Holy Ghost. They always have the accompanying joy and peace of God's Spirit. They enjoy protection from danger. They have angelic assistance. They enjoy victory over their enemies. They experience deliverance from demons. They enjoy an advocate in heaven. Jesus Christ stands up for each one of them and pleads his blood to the Father. They enjoy a promised inheritance, mansions and rewards on the streets of gold forever and ever. Oh, beloved, we have such glorious privileges being citizens of the city of God. A famous poet once wrote, "I wish there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again." I've got good news for that poet. There is such a place. Amen. It's called the city of God, and any human being can enter it by new birth and regeneration. It's spiritual Jerusalem. But thirdly, spiritual Jerusalem is glorious because she contains glorious inhabitants. Glorious inhabitants. Beloved, listen. Every citizen of spiritual Jerusalem is indeed a glorious denizen of it. Why? Because they're all free. For we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We're free from sin. We're free from the world. We're free from the devil. And we're free from evil. I'm so thankful for that. Now, listen, why are we free? It's because we are in heavenly race. Back to our text. Don't miss this. We're free because we are in heavenly race. Verse 5 of Psalm 87. Look at verse 5. And of Zion, that's spiritual Jerusalem, it shall be said, this and that man was what? Born in her. Now, time out, church, before we continue to read. I was born in Winthrop, Massachusetts. You can go today to the town hall in Winthrop, Massachusetts, and you can see a birth record for Robert Oliver, that I was born on March the 13th in 1958 in the Winthrop Hospital. They have a record of my birth. you can likewise go to heaven and have the Lord Jesus Christ open up His book. And you can look and find my name written down in that book that I was born spiritually on October 3rd, 1986. Robert Oliver. My name is written down. Why? Because I was born there. Look at it. And the highest Himself shall establish her. 6. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah.
I got good news today, church. If you're born again, you belong to the spiritual Jerusalem. You are an eternal citizen of it.
I want to encourage you today. Listen, Jerusalem has all glorious ones. They're made so by the great King of spiritual Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. You didn't make yourself that way. He did. He did. In the 1800s, American naval officer Stephen Decatur uttered these memorable words at a patriotic convention. He stood and said, "Our country, in all her dealings with foreign countries, may she always be in the right. May she always be in the right. Oh God, give us leaders like that today. May America always be in the right." Listen to me. That's how the citizens of spiritual Jerusalem desire to be. We always want to be in the right in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what man says. We want to be right in the sight of our King. Amen? But finally, and speaking of spiritual Jerusalem, finally, this city of God, the spiritual Jerusalem, is glorious because, listen, first, she's glorious because she's founded by the living God. Second, she's glorious because she possesses glorious privileges. Third, she's glorious because she contains glorious inhabitants. But fourthly, she's glorious because she has some glorious promises. Look at verse 3 again. Glorious, what's the next word?
Things.
Things, plural, are spoken of thee, O city of God. Those things are glorious promises. Listen, we have the promise of receiving a glorified body one day. We have the promise of living in our dear Savior's presence one day. We have the promise of our great Lord's glorious return one of these days. Beloved, we have glorious promises like no other city in the universe has. Why? Because we're citizens of spiritual Jerusalem. And as long as you're a citizen of that city, you can't lose. Hey, devil, we know the end. We win. Because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. We've seen the city of God in its literal reference to Jerusalem earthly. We've seen the city of God in its spiritual application to the gospel church. But finally, thirdly, we must see the city of God in its grandest implication of all, which is to New Jerusalem, heaven itself. Now, think with me, beloved. Look at verse 3. Glorious things are spoken to thee of thee, O city of God. He's speaking about, thirdly, where God dwells. He's speaking about the glories of heaven above. And he says, it's a glorious place. Ultimately, David points here to the celestial city above, where God's throne dwells. Beloved, understand here that heaven is a real, literal place, not just a state of being. It is necessary that there be a local display of God's glory in some central point in the universe where all the happy citizens of the universe may be gathered together. That place is heaven, the city of God. And glorious things are spoken thereof in God's holy oracles. Amen? I want to suggest three. First, it is surpassingly grand in its magnificence. For there, the throne of supreme glory is erected. There, the divine manifestations of deity are beheld. There, the eternal worship of our God is unbroken. Listen, it surpasses all other cities in time and eternity in its magnificence. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Don't miss this. In Revelation chapter 21, it speaks of the New Jerusalem, the glorious city of God above. In Revelation 21, look with me at verse number 2. And I, John, saw the what?
Holy city.
The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of
heaven.
Heaven's coming down. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Drop down to verse 10. He sees the celestial city. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Yeah, real high. It's Zion. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It's our eternal home, folks. Listen, 11. Having the what?
Glory to God.
We could camp right there for a while. This city is glorious because it has the glory of God. Look at it.
And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Drop down, he sees the wall with 12 gates, the names of the apostles. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Drop down to verse 18, and the building of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. That's about 42 carat right there. Amen. Listen, drop down with me to verse 21. He goes on to further describe this glorious city. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Pearls so big you can walk through them. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no night need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Beloved, it's surpassingly grand in its magnificence, because no other city can compare to it in all of eternity. You belong there because you love the King of the city. The greatest thing of all about this city, I'm here to tell you, is found in verse number 22. It says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Jesus is there. That's all that matters to me. But something else about this heavenly city, in its grandest implication to heaven itself, the New Jerusalem, it's secondly, it's absolutely complete in its enjoyments. Hear what I said? I marvel at the vanities that man lusts after in this world today. They're empty. They're vain. They're unsatisfying. They're discontent. But this place, there's eternal joys in this place. Eternal pleasures. Listen, it's glorious in its enjoyments because it possesses the perfect exclusion of all that is evil. Look at verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, Mr. President. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No liars in heaven. No evil in heaven. No sorcerers in heaven. Perfect exclusion of all that is evil. Something else. The utmost perfection of body and soul will be found in heaven. Amen? Another possession. It possesses the visions and fruition of the Father and the Son. Look in chapter 22. Look at verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. No more devil. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads.
He says, you know what? I got good news, church. We're going to have the vision and fruition of the living God, the Father and the Son, and we'll have the Holy Spirit forever. Listen, it possesses the most glorious and amicable society ever known to mankind. Everybody saved. Can you imagine leaving this church this morning and everybody out there in the world is saved?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! It's heaven on earth! It would be heaven on earth, but it's not. But in this place that I speak of, everybody loves Jesus. Something else it possesses. It possesses the most pleasing engagements ever known to man. The Lord said in Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence there are pleasures forevermore. We're talking about celestial pleasures. We're not talking about the fading, unsatisfying pleasures of this world that don't amount to a hill of beans. We're talking about true pleasures, divine, heavenly, holy pleasures with our Lord. First,
It's surpassingly grand and it's magnificent. Second, it's absolutely complete in its enjoyment. But finally, thirdly, it's unalterably eternal in its duration. Huh? It's eternal. Its duration will never cease. Listen, this city of God, being built by God Himself, has an everlasting continuance. Indeed, the most radiant star in the constellation of future glory is that heaven is forever. It's forever. You can't stop it. You can't destroy it. You can't nuke it. It's forever because God made it. Listen now. No more tears in heaven. No more pain. No more sickness. No more death. No more sorrow. Just eternal bliss and joy. Why? For glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Let me give you this in closing and I'll be done, beloved. Listen carefully. The story is told of a little girl named Amy. She lived right next to a cemetery. Even though she had to walk through the cemetery every day after dark to get to her house, she never seemed to be afraid. Finally, someone said, "Amy, aren't you afraid to go through that dark cemetery at night?" "Oh, no," she replied. "I'm not at all afraid, for my home is just beyond that cemetery."
Amen.
My home is just beyond that cemetery. Hear the little girl, church. Your home is the city of God. It's just beyond the cemetery. Don't fear death. We may get raptured before we die. But when we do, we're going to be forever in the city of God. With our King, worshiping Him.
Yes.
Adoring. I told you it's going to get good this morning.
Yep.
Now, beloved, there's a great spiritual truth contained in that story. It's that our eternal home lies just beyond the grave. It's called the city of God.
Amen.
Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the city of God. Lord, we thank you first for its application to literal Jerusalem over there in Israel. We love that place, Lord. We love that. We would die for those people, oh Lord, if we are called upon to do so. But secondly, Lord, we're so thankful for its application to spiritual Jerusalem, the gospel church, the New Testament, Bible-believing church of the living God. Thank you that every citizen of spiritual Jerusalem knows Jesus Christ. And thirdly, and most importantly of all, Lord, we're thankful for its third application. To the new Jerusalem, the celestial city above, the eternal home of us all who know Jesus Christ. We thank you for it today, Lord. And we thank you that we are reminded today that no matter how tough it gets down here, no matter how difficult my situation may be, my home is in heaven. Oh, thank you, Lord. We never have to despair. We never have to be discouraged. We never have to be down in the dumps. Because Jesus Christ has made us citizens of the city of God. We will not fear what man shall do. But we shall go forth conquering in Jesus Christ's name. And we will preach the gospel till He comes. And we will tell the lost of that glorious city above that they too can be a part of if they'll only repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you, Father, this morning, and we're so thankful for our eternal home, the city of God. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals. In closing, I want us to sing a hymn of invitation concerning the city of God. Look with me here, and open up your hymnals to hymn 31, because soon and very soon, the morning will arrive. Oh yeah. And when that morning comes, we shall know even as we are now known by God. Woo! And we're going to go to hymn 31 and sing the first and the last, people. First and the last. If you need to do business with the Lord, the altar is open. Yes.
Tell
trials knock on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by.
Amen!
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. The nations listen theirs, often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed. And we'll wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.
Everybody!
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by.
Woo! Yeah! Praise the Lord! Good singing in church this morning. And don't forget, tonight we will be meeting at 6, and oh boy, Doctrine of Immortality will be... Oh, by the way, tonight, make sure you bring your swords sharpened on both edges. Sword drill tonight. Guys, against the gals. Guys, we got to win one for the Gipper. We're going to have Brother Brother Shane. Didn't see you. Brother Shane's going to dismiss us in prayer. And tonight, if you can, bring your sword.
We thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given us tonight. We thank you that you are our one and two little Savior and our only little Savior. We thank you for Pastor Oliver and all of the great words he has spoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.